And we'll begin reading in verse number 10, Ephesians chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse number 10, and we'll read down through verse number 15. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So we've been going through the series on the armor of God here, looking at the different pieces of the armor of God, and we're in verse number 15, talking about, he says, "and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." But again, it's important that we go back and look at verse number 10. He says, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So when we think about this armor, this is not some type of physical armor. This is spiritual armor, right? We need God's power in this to be able to stand against our enemies. But in verse number 11, he says, "put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then again in verse number 13, "wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God," right? So both in verse number 11 and verse 13, he says the whole armor, right? So what does the word W-H-O-L-E, whole, what does that mean? It means all of it. It means the complete, right? It means it's complete, every aspect of it. Not just one or two pieces of it, not just the one that we like, right? I mean, if you were to have a suit of armor up here, you know, there's some people that they're going to go right to the sword, right? They're going to go, you know, I want to pick up that sword, you know, I want to hold the sword, I want to cut something with the sword, right? Some people are going to go to the shield, they're going to be like, man, look at that shield, it's so cool, right? Or they're going to go to the helmet, right? They're going to put on the helmet, you know, especially if it's ornate and things like that, man, that's so cool. But it's not just one piece that he's saying, it's not just pick out your favorite piece and put that on. No, he said, put on the whole armor of God. And so we've been looking at these different pieces of the armor of God, and we saw in verse number 13, or excuse me, verse number 14, he says, having your loins girt about with truth. And so we have the belt of truth. And again, we have to begin with truth. If we don't start with truth, nothing else matters. We kind of talked about that this morning, how important it is to have the right foundation of truth. Especially with the world, the way the world is trying to change truth and make truth irrelevant. So we have to have that the belt of truth. And then he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We're protecting our heart. We're protecting ourselves from the attacks of the devil. And then he says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? So again, the belt of truth, and if you'll notice, this is full body armor, right? So the belt of truth is going from the waist down to the knees. The breastplate is going from the neck down to the waist. And now he says to put on the shoes or the boots of the gospel of peace. And of course, there are many different styles of shoes and boots and things that they would wear during the Roman times. But the sandal and things that they would wear were made out of leather. Of course, they didn't have the type of boots and things that we have in our day today, but they would have a leather sandal, and that the sole of it would have several leather strips, and the bottom one would have like these hobnails in it, and that would be used to give a kind of grip in it. Do we have the picture of that? Can we show kind of the picture of what it would look like? So this is kind of what a Roman shoe would look like, military, right? You know, that somebody, I think it was Caesar that took this picture, you know, and he put it on Facebook so everybody could see what the Roman soldiers look like. But they do have like artifacts and things, but this is something similar to what they would have. And you notice the hobnails that are in the bottom of the shoe there. Of course, they weren't wearing like rubber-soled shoes or anything like that, and so those hobnails would be able to help to give grip while they were in battle and things like this. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But there would also be almost kind of like a shin guard as well that they would be able to put, especially those who were in the front in the front rows of the battle. They would have a shin guard as well that they would kind of put. So you're protecting the, basically from the knee down to the foot. Again, we're trying to, it's protecting the whole body here, right? And so I want us to notice a few things about what he's saying here. And he says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I don't know about you, but when I see the word shod, I think of one thing. I think of a horse, right? Right? I think of shoeing a horse, right? You know, you get a farrier to come if you have a horse, and you know, they've got the horseshoe, and you know, they pick up the leg of the horse, and they're putting that shoe on the horse, right? And the purpose of it, of course, you know, it's to protect the horse, it's to protect him from different things like that. But in this sense, obviously, he's talking about this soldier and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, again, what is the purpose of shoeing the horse? What is the purpose of putting on these boots or these shoes that he's talking about here? Well, the first thing we find is protection. It's protection, right? Making sure you have the right footwear in this battle is important, right? Anybody watch the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Anybody watch it? Nobody watched it? A few of you watched it, right? You know, I guarantee you that those farriers made sure that everything was just right on those shoes that those horses were wearing, right? At the same time, I believe the... there's several different sporting events going on right now. I think hockey is going on right now, like the playoffs. I think that's going on. Basketball is going on right now, right? Now, so, you know, you think about these different events, okay? If you're gonna play basketball, are you gonna put on hockey skates? That's not gonna work well on a wooden court, right? But the same thing, if you're gonna play hockey, you're not going to put on basketball shoes to play hockey. You're going to be slipping all over the place, okay? The right footwear is important no matter what sport you're playing or even the job that you're working, right? Even the job that you do, the right footwear is important. Why? Because you want to make sure that you have a good foundation, that you're not slipping and sliding and all this kind of stuff, okay? I think the only game that you really want to slip and slide in is, and I don't even know if you call it a sport. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They've got that rock that they kind of throw on the ice, you know? Curling. Is that a sport? I know they have it in the Olympics, but can we really call that a sport? I mean, it's like, here's this giant rock, it's really smooth, and you're like, have you ever watched it? They slide. So those shoes you want to slide, right? You know, those are shoes that you want to slide. I don't know what got me on curling. I just thought of sliding. I'm like, you know, you don't want to slide, but yet in curling, I guess you do want to slide. But anyway, so we want to make sure that we have the right footwear, right? If you're going into battle, right, you definitely don't want to wear ballet slippers. You know, that's not going to work well, right? You definitely don't want to go in barefoot, right? Because if you know, especially in this day and age, they would, if they knew, if there was ever an enemy or something, they would try to put out sharp barbs and things like this for people to step on so that they wouldn't... you know, they wouldn't keep moving forward and things. And so there was a lot that was taking place. So you didn't want to just be barefoot, okay? You wanted to make sure that you had the right footwear because your foot could be injured by a sharp object that you step on or by something that the enemy has thrown out on the battleground. But you also want to make sure that you have traction. Obviously, if you're barefoot, you're not going to have very good traction. And so that's where they would wear these sandals with the studs on the bottom to give them good type of traction and things, right? But not only did it give them traction, it also gave them stability. It's interesting. In Greek, the word shod literally means to bind or fasten on. That's what the word shod means. It means to bind or to fasten. And that's why if you look at kind of the picture that we... Can we put the picture back up there just for a second? Many of them would even go higher, and they would take these leather pieces, and they would make sure to bind them onto their foot and bind them onto their leg. Why? Because they didn't want, in the battle, they didn't want them becoming loose, right? They didn't want them slipping or falling off or anything like that. They wanted to make sure they were tight. They wanted to make sure they were secure, okay? They wanted that stability. They wanted that that traction. Now think about this. He's saying, have your feet shod with the gospel of peace, literally to bind or to fasten on the gospel of peace. Okay, and again, that we just as we saw with the first thing, the belt of truth, right? We need truth because we want a good foundation. But if we're going to live our life, the gospel of peace is where we do get a good foundation. It gives us stability in life. And we're going to see why this is important in this next point here, right? So we think about the protection that it gives. But what are our feet to be shod with? What does it say they're to be shod with, right? He says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, okay? So just like he says, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, okay, your feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, okay? And again, we understand this is a spiritual, these are all spiritual things that he's speaking about. But in a world that is looking for peace, can it really be that easy to find? In a world that's looking for peace, can it really be easy to find? Of course, you know, the answer is yes, it can be, but it's not through social reform. That's not where we're going to find peace. It's not through the absence of wars. The gospel of peace refers to the peace that we can have through Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, you can look at all the wars and things that are happening around the world. You can think about what's going on with Israel and Iran and all of that. You can think about wars that are taking place on basically every continent, right? And we can say, well, if we could just have no wars, then we would be at peace. Not really, right? I mean, I would say in our country today, there is no wars. I'm using that term loosely. There's no wars taking place in our country, in America today, right? We've had wars in the past that we've been involved in. In our country today, though, we're not fighting any wars in our country. But do we have peace? I mean, we could look at our country and say, well, we have peace because we live in a country that we can come and worship freely and things, but even in our own country, without a war taking place, of course, we know we've had the Civil War that's taken place and revolutionary wars and things like that. But even without a war or a battle that's being fought in our own country today, I would still say that we don't have peace. We're not at peace, right? I mean, people are still fighting each other, maybe not in a war, but we're still quarreling and bickering and fighting and things like that. There's not peace yet. But yet God says, through Jesus Christ, we can have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ offers peace. He offers peace to all who will come to him by faith. His offer of salvation of both Jew and Gentile, to anyone who's willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He knows that his atonement and his atonement alone is sufficient for everyone. Doesn't matter who it is, right? And so through him, we can have peace. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior tonight, I would say that's the most important thing. You need to know Jesus. But as we think about what Paul is saying, and again, in context, right? In context here, right? Just as we talked last week, many times people say, well, the breastplate of righteousness is salvation. No, I don't think so. I don't think the breastplate of righteousness is salvation, because he's already writing to believers, right? And the breastplate of righteousness is something that we don't necessarily put on every day, right? Many times we go through life without putting on the armor of God. Well, we know we don't lose our salvation. Well, in the same context, if you think about what Paul is saying here, the armor here that he is giving is defensive. This armor is defensive. So when he says to put on the shoes or the boots of peace here, right, we have to think about what the purpose is. It's defensive so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. He's writing to believers, right? He's saying, hey, I know you're saved. I'm writing to the church. And if you're going to stand against the devil, if you're going to stand against his attacks, this is what you need to put on. Okay, so then how does that relate to a Christian? If the gospel of peace, and we're saying, well, I'm already saved, I have peace with God already, then what is the gospel of peace, and how does that relate to me today? How does that relate to me and the life that I'm living? If I'm justified by faith, right? I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved, so I know I'm at peace with God. So how does putting on and having our feet shod with the gospel of peace, how does that apply to me today? Because again, this is what he says, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then again in verse number 13, he says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then at the end of verse number 13, he says, having done all to stand. And then in verse number 14, what's the first word? Isn't it interesting how many times he talks about standing? Withstanding, standing, stand against the evil one. Having done all to stand, withstand. What do you use to stand? Use your feet, use your legs, right? If we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, he says you need to put on the gospel of peace. You need to make sure that there is some stability in your life, just like those Roman soldiers would put those shoes on with those hobnails to give them stability, to give them traction against the enemy. He's saying, look, if you want to have stability against the enemy, if you want to have traction against the enemy, you've got to put on the gospel of peace. So think about this. In John chapter 14, verse number 1, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, why did Jesus tell the disciples that? If you know the story in John chapter 14, Jesus has just told the disciples, I'm going away. I'm going to go back to my Father's house. I'm going away. Isn't everybody happy? I'm going away. And the disciples are like, what do you mean you're going away? You're not supposed to go away. You're supposed to build your kingdom. Whoa, what do you mean you're going away to your Father's house? You're supposed to stay here. You're supposed to lead us. You're supposed to build your kingdom. And Jesus says, no, I'm going away. That caused some trouble in their life. That caused some confusion and some conflict, right? Where are you going? Why are you going? Well, why don't you stay here? Why don't you stay here with us? Why don't you set up your kingdom? No doubt there were many questions that were going on in their mind when Jesus says, hey, I want you to know something, guys. In a few days, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to ascend to my Father, and I'm going to go away. I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm pretty sure it probably caused some conflict, and questions were being asked about, why is this happening? Now, let me ask you a question. Obviously, we understand Jesus isn't here. He's not living personally on this world. But have you ever asked God that question? Why? God, why is this happening? God, if you love me and you really cared about me, why would you allow this to happen to my life? Why is this going on? I mean, maybe we look at things going on in our society and we're starting to wonder, like, Lord, do you realize what's happening? And we start questioning, we start wondering. And so Jesus tells the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He says, hey, it's going to be okay, guys. I'm going to go away. Oh, by the way, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, no, Lord, I'd never do that. I'm not going to deny you, Lord. Lord, I would die with you. He says, no, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And by the way, all the rest of you disciples, you're going to abandon me as well. You're going to leave. You're going to forsake me. You're going to abandon me. Can you just imagine what the disciples must have been thinking at this point? What is going on? This is not what we had planned. I guarantee you that morning when the disciples woke up, and then later on that day, they had no clue. This was not part of their plan that Jesus is saying, I'm leaving, you're going to deny me, you're all going to leave me. What? The confusion and the difficulties that this must have caused them. Their world was falling apart around them. It wasn't what they had planned. And yet Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus says, don't worry. Jesus says, it's okay, guys. Don't worry about it. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. In fact, a little later in the chapter, in John chapter 14, verse number 27, this is what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There again, he says, hey guys, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm leaving my peace with you. You see, this is the peace that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is saying, hey, your feet need to be shod with the gospel of peace. Yes, we understand that we're saved, but he said, guys, you need to understand, if you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, if you're going to stand against what the devil's doing, you have to have some stability in life. You have to have some traction in life. And you need to know that even though the world may look like it's falling apart, and even though it may seem like things aren't going well in your life, or maybe in your family, or maybe in your job, or your finances, whatever, guys, hey, don't worry. Don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. Hey, I'm still in control. I've got it under control. You don't have to worry about it. Now, that's easy to say, isn't it? Right? You ever talk to somebody, man, they're just really going through it, and you're like, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, just keep trusting God. Keep looking to God. Just take it one day at a time. You know, everything's going to be good. It's easy to say that. And then all of a sudden, boom, it hits you. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I can go through this. And that person comes to you and says, don't worry. Just take it one day at a time. You're going to get, and you're like, shut up. I don't want to talk, you know. Don't tell me that. You don't know what I'm going through. No, we've all experienced that, right? And yet God says, my peace I leave with you. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, think about that. He says, the peace of God is going to keep your heart and your mind. When we focus on the things of God and we go back to his word and we know, yeah, even though it might seem like the world is falling apart, I know what God says is true. Even though it might seem like things are not going well in our society and in the world, hey, it's okay. God hasn't changed. What does that do? That gives me some stability. It gives me some traction in life. It gives me something to be able to say, hey, I can put my foot down and I'm not going to be moved by this. I'm not going to be moved by the enemy, because just like those shoes would have those hobnails to give them traction and stability and support to be able to stand against the attack of the enemy. He said, hey, if you'll remember that you have the peace of God, if you'll remember, hey, you don't have to worry. If you'll remember, hey, I've got everything under control. I haven't forgotten you. I know exactly what's going on in the world. And I want you to know, you can have my peace. Man, that gives us something to stand on. It gives us some stability. It gives us some traction in a world that is falling apart around us. And this is what Jesus is saying. He said, hey, I'm giving you my peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our dependence on the gospel, our dependence on what Jesus Christ is, what gives a person peace in their heart, so that we can have that firm foothold in conflict. The gospel is not just a saving message. When we think about the gospel, we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many times we can just relegate the gospel message to a salvation message. The gospel is just about salvation. The gospel is about salvation. Well, that's the first part of the gospel. The first part of the gospel is about salvation, right? Because that's what we need first. We have to be saved. But what is the rest of the gospel message, right? the death, the burial, the resurrection. He died for my sins. He was buried, and he rose again to give me life. Well, what's the purpose of giving me life? Just so that I can live with him forever one day in heaven? No. In fact, many times, if you probably heard it this morning, if you're here for the baptism, Pastor Joel will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in baptism, raised to life, raised in to walk in newness of life. Raised to walk in newness of life. Raised to... Thank you. Walk in newness of life. What do you use to walk? Your feet. Use your feet to walk. We are raised in Christ Jesus. Now that we're saved, guess what they're supposed to be? They're supposed to be a new walk. They're supposed to be a new life. Where's that come from? From the gospel. From the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, before I knew Christ, I couldn't walk this way. I couldn't follow his life. I couldn't follow his example because I was lost without Jesus Christ. I didn't have that peace. But now that I'm saved, now that he has crucified my sins on the cross and he has saved me from my sins, now he has raised me to walk in a new life that is patterned after him. That's why he says in Romans chapter 8, I am to be conformed to the image of his Son. There's a new walk here in the gospel of grace. It's not just about salvation. That's the first part. But now that I'm saved, the gospel continues in my life as I walk in Jesus Christ. That's why he says there in Philippians 4, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that I'm in Christ Jesus, man, I'm telling you, the devil is going to come after your mind. He's going to come after your heart. He's going to come after your life. And this is why he's saying, hey, you better put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. It's not just a saving message, though it does save. It is a message that if we truly listen and follow, is a message of peace. That no matter what is happening in our world, no matter what is happening in our society, we can have peace. God is in control. And I may not understand what's happening, and I may not know why it's happening, but I know that God is in control, and therefore I can have peace. I don't know why this sickness has come, but I know I can have peace because God is in control. I don't know why I'm having this problem at work, but I know that God is in control, and I can have peace. I don't know why I'm having these family issues, these family problems. I don't know why, but I know that God is in control, and I can have peace through it all. You see, he says, our feet need to be shod with the gospel of peace. There's the protection that it provides, but the gospel of peace, what we are to put on, is the gospel of peace. Now, I want you to notice a word that many times gets looked over, right? Notice what he says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the, what is that next word? Preparation of the gospel of peace. So there's protection, there's peace, but then he also says there's preparation. The preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be prepared. The preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a preparation that takes place. What is it that we are preparing for? We are preparing to stand. We are preparing to stand against our enemy. That's why he says, have your feet shod. Bind the gospel of peace on. You take it, you tie it to your feet. You make sure that it doesn't move. It's unshakable. You wrap it on there, you tie it on there. You make sure that no matter what happens, it isn't going to move. Why? Because you need some stability. You need a foothold. You need some traction in life. And the gospel of peace is able to give that to us. But he says there's preparation here. Shoes necessary for standing. They speak of the foundation. We need a good, solid foundation. Preparation is foundational. So let me ask you this question. When we're thinking about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, are your feet anchored on the rock of Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you're saved. I hope you're saved tonight, right? Again, that's the most important thing if you're not. But if you're saved, are your feet anchored in Jesus Christ? to be able to say, hey, no matter what comes, I can have peace. I have that peace of God. Not just peace with God, but the peace of God. Yes, salvation brings me peace with God. But as I live my life for Jesus Christ, I can have the peace of God. Let me ask you, when Jesus lived here on this earth, right? 30, 33, 34 some odd years, right? Jesus lived here on the earth. Can you name me one thing that worried him? I mean, when the blind man comes to Jesus and says, could you heal me? Was he like, oh man, I hope I got enough power today to do that? I don't think he was worried when the blind man came. When those 10 lepers came and they said, Lord, heal us, I don't think Jesus was worried that he somehow didn't have the power to heal him. There's nothing that Jesus went through when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and everybody was all coming and trying to attack him and trying to bring all kinds of accusations. I don't think Jesus was worried about any of that. Even when he's standing before Pilate after he's been beaten, he's not worried about what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knows he's going to die on the cross. You see, there was nothing that Jesus experienced that worried him. There was nothing that took him by surprise. And he says, that's the peace that I want to give you. That no matter what comes in life, you don't have to worry about it. Now, you may not understand everything the way Jesus did, and we get that. We understand Jesus is God. But he said, I want to give you my peace. That's what Jesus said. My peace I leave with you. Do you believe him? Do you believe that Jesus wants to give you his peace? That peace that wasn't worried about anything? He says he does. So then why do we always worry? Why do we fret? Is it because maybe today we didn't put on the shoes that we need to put on? Instead of putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace, today we just decided, you know, I don't need those shoes. I don't need those shoes. I'll just go barefoot today. Or I'll put some other type of shoe on. No. He says, wait a minute. Every day we need to make sure we're putting on the whole armor of God. Putting on the gospel of peace. Look, the devil is going to attack. Therefore, we have to be ready to stand against the onslaught of our enemy by firmly being grounded in the gospel of peace. This is what we find in Matthew chapter 4. What happens? The devil comes to tempt Jesus. But because Jesus is prepared and has his foundation in the gospel, he's able to withstand the enemy's attack. Every attack that Satan brought against Jesus, what did Jesus do? He used the gospel. He used the word of God. He used God's word as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. Many times the reason why the enemy wins and is victorious in our life is because we're not prepared. We haven't taken time to study the word of God. I didn't plan to preach tonight's message in accordance with this morning's message, but it kind of works out that they work pretty well together. If I'm not in the Word of God, if I'm not taking time to study the Word of God, if I'm not preparing, then it's going to be really hard to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's going to be really hard to stand against his attack. And so there's preparation. He says we must be prepared. We must put on the gospel of peace. May I say there's one other aspect of the shoes of the gospel of peace. Everything that we've looked at here is defensive. Everything is defensive. The belt of truth is defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, defensive. Your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's defensive. But can I also say, although Paul is saying here that we should be ready to stand against the attacks of the devil, nowhere does the Bible ever tell us that we're not to attack the enemy. Nowhere does the Bible ever tell us that we aren't to attack the enemy. In fact, just the opposite, right? And some of you know that there's a specific song I don't like, right? because of this very thing. We get into a defensive mode and we just think that we are trying to hold on until Jesus returns. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that tells me? The church is to be on the offensive. The church is to be attacking. Now, there's no doubt that the devil is going to attack as well. But the church is to be on the offensive, right? We're to be offensive as well. We're to go out and we are to attack the enemy. Now, again, we're not talking physical, right? Don't go out and beat somebody up tonight, okay? Please don't do that. Well, Pastor said we're supposed to be on the offensive, so there you go. No, don't do that, okay? And those of you that are thinking about doing it to your brother or sister, do not, okay? Well, you know, I've heard my mom say they're the little devil, and so I'm going to, you know. It's not what she was saying. It's offensive. We're to be on the offense, right? We're to be going after people. The church should be on the offensive. And this is where even our feet talk about our action here. How are we using the gospel of peace to be on the offensive? Yes, we have to use it to stand against the wiles of the devil. But are we using the gospel of peace to also go after the enemy? Now, I'm not talking about going after the devil. That's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm not saying, you know, go find the devil and try to beat up on the devil. That's not it. But we understand that there are still millions and millions of people that are held captive by the devil. They're still bound in sin. And they need someone to go after them. They need someone to go after them so that they can be freed from sin. Now, we can't free them from sin. Don't get me wrong. We can't save them. We can't free them from sin. But we can introduce them to the one who can. Just like somebody introduced him to you and me. They introduced us to Jesus, who saved us from our sin. And now, yes, we should be prepared to stand against the attacks of the devil, but we should also be on the offensive. We should also be going out to share the gospel with others. Our feet are to be shod to literally make sure that wherever we go, as our feet are shod, as the gospel of peace is tied to our feet, wherever we go, wherever we walk, wherever we're at, guess what should be with us? The gospel. The gospel should be with us. Now look, I'm all for passing out tracts and things like that. That's important. That's true. But wherever you are, wherever your feet are, everybody look down at your feet right now. Look down at your feet. See those feet? Don't look at me. Look at your feet. I am not your feet, okay? Look at your feet. Look at your feet right now. Come on. I still see eyes looking at me. Like, look at your feet. Wherever those feet go, guess what should go? The gospel. Do we get that? Wherever those feet take me, the gospel should go too. Why? Because I have shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, I'm able to live in peace. I have peace with the Father because of Jesus Christ. And now I have peace that no matter what happens in my life, hey, I know God's in control. But everywhere I go, I have the gospel of peace with me. And everywhere I go, I should be able to share the gospel of peace with someone else. Hey, that might be leaving a track somewhere. But you know what? The best way to share the gospel of peace is through your life. Through your life. Let people see Jesus through you. Let people hear you talk about Jesus. Let people hear you talk about the peace that you have. Man, I know it seems like the world's falling apart and it's crazy. And, you know, maybe my 401k isn't doing as great as I could. But, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm at peace with things because I know that God is in control. And I know things that maybe look messed up in the world. And who knows what's going to happen with the elections. But you know what? I'm just not worried about that. I'm not worried about any of it. Why? Well, because I know God's in control. You want to make some people take a second look at you. Go ahead, say that. Why don't we talk about the gospel of peace? Why don't we share that with others? Is it maybe that we forgot to put on our shoes this morning? Is it maybe that we forgot to bind the gospel of peace? Now remember, all these things, he says, hey, you've got to put them on. You've got to remember every day, you've got to put these things on, right? They don't just stay on permanently. They're not infused into your body. No, these are things you have to put on because it's very easy to take them off. And we find it much easier to take them off than we do to put them on. We find it much easier to leave them off than to remember to put them on. And that's why he says you have to be willing to do this, right? Again, obviously we understand you can't take the Bible with you wherever you go, but you can be a Bible wherever you go. You can be the Word of God. You can help people to know Jesus Christ. We need to know the Word of God so that no matter where our feet go, the gospel goes. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They ought to see something different in us. The way that we walk is different. Now, again, I'm not talking physical walk. There's something different about our life. Something different that people say, there's something different about them. Man, everything, you know, things are going bad, you know. But you know what? They still have a peace about them. There's something that's different. Why? So we can share Christ with them. We can share Christ. Think about this. Jesus spent 3 years preparing the disciples. Paul always had men he was trying to prepare for the ministry. It takes time to master the Word of God. There's no doubt about that. It takes time to truly, fully understand. And nobody has fully understood everything about the Word of God. But one thing that we have to remember is no matter where we go, the gospel of peace goes, should go. And as we go, we should be helping others to learn how they can put on the gospel of peace as well. How are these teenagers, how are these young people going to know that they need to put on the gospel of peace if they never see the adults putting on the gospel of peace? How are they know that they're supposed to put on the belt of truth if they never see the adults putting on the belt of truth? How are they supposed to know to put on the breastplate of righteousness if they never see the adults doing it? Again, it's a little bit harder to grasp because we think physical, if I could see it, then I could really grasp it. Well, they ought to be able to see it. They ought to be able to see that you have the gospel of peace shod to your feet. They should see that. They should say, hey, if they can do it, that means I can do it too. And so Paul tells us here, he says, make sure if you're going to put on the whole armor of God and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How are your feet tonight? Not physically. Don't want to go there. But spiritually, how are your feet tonight? It's interesting, he tells in the book of Romans chapter 10 how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of glad tidings. And he's not talking about your physical feet. But he said those that are willing to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, those that are willing to, wherever they go, they've got the gospel with them, not necessarily the word of God in paper form, but they've got it here in their heart. Why? Because they put on the breastplate of righteousness and their heart is protected from the enemy. Why? Because they've got the belt of truth on. And they're standing on the Word of God. They know what truth says. They're studying it. And wherever they go, they've got the gospel of peace. They're taking it wherever they go. Why? Because we have an enemy. And he says, we're going to have to stand against this enemy because he's going to attack. And we need to be ready for that. But there's still many people that need to be rescued. They need to be rescued from the enemy, and that's our job. We're to go. We're to tell. Some of them quoted it tonight, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Whose job is that? That's ours. And we need the gospel of peace to do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray you'd help us to recognize how important it is to put on the whole armor of God. Not just the pieces that we want. We can say, I really want the gospel of peace. I want peace in my life. But yet, we don't put on the breastplate of righteousness. We don't put on the belt of truth. Lord, we can't pick and choose the pieces that we want to put on. We're to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, I thank you that if we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Lord, there's many Christians that are not living with the peace of God. We're worried about everything that's going on. We're afraid. We're concerned. Seems like the world is falling apart. We don't know what's going on. Elections coming up. Wars being fought. What's happening? Lord, we don't have to worry. We know you're in control. You want us to live a life that is pleasing to you so that others can know you as their Savior. That we can share the gospel of peace with them and rescue them from the clutches of the enemy. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to recognize that each one of us as Christians, our feet need to be shod, need to be bound and tied with the gospel of peace. Lord, help us to remember that everywhere our feet go, the gospel should go. Lord, I pray tomorrow morning when we get out of bed and we get ready to put our shoes and socks on, we say, hey, you know what? If I'm putting my shoes and socks on, I need to make sure today that my feet are shod with the gospel of peace. I'm going out. I want the gospel to go with me. I want the gospel of peace to be in my life. Lord, help me to have peace today with whatever happens, but Lord, help me to show the gospel of peace wherever I'm at so that others can know you. Father, would you help us in this? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly this evening. The piano's just going to begin playing softly.